This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. The sermon for this second Sunday in Advent, Populus Zion, is according to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. In our Gospel lesson for today, our Lord makes it clear that just as we can see the signs of coming summer in the fig tree, so also can we, through the eyes of faith, see the coming of Christ in all glory and judgment. In fact, he commands you to straighten up and raise your heads and look to him when you see all the signs and symptoms of this fallen and sinful world coming apart as it's by the seams. But that's not all our Lord tells you to look at, is it? Watch yourselves. Understand our focus is to always be on Christ. In good times, in bad times, better or worse, sickness or in health, richer or poorer, always. You can never focus too much on Jesus or have too much faith. But there is the problem. We can and do take our focus off of Jesus. We can and do focus on the wrong things. Our Lord prayed that we be in the world and not of the world in John 17. However, you can very easily become of the world when you take your focus off Christ. And it's this of-the-world problem that binds you to all signs all around us. It's this of-the-world problem that weighs your heads and hearts down so that you don't look up, so that you don't look to Christ. So watch yourselves, so that you do not get weighed down, blinded by dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this world, and then that day will come upon you like a trap. So what does all this mean? Well, the drunkenness and cares of the world is pretty self-evident. We can get or be drunk on the things of this world, intoxicated with the things that we hear on the news, the things that people are saying to us. We can talk about, get drunk on our health, we can get drunk on our wealth, we can get drunk on our popularity, we can get drunk on prosperity. The feelings of euphoria and joy and power, these things give us this 10-foot tall and bulletproof feeling. It's easy to see why sinful man is such an addict for these things. To put it plainly, sinners are junkies. You can't get enough, and the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh are more than happy to supply you. It happens all the time. It happens to you. You get what Jesus means with these words, watch out, watch yourselves. But here's the trick. What about dissipation, though? That's not a word that comes up often in conversation, is it? Simply put, to be dissipated, or krypalai in Greek, is to be crippled, to be hung over because you've been intoxicated with material, worldly, non-redemptive things. You're sick on all the wrong things. Sick to the point of being crippled. Sick like a bad hangover with a terrible headache. You don't want to move. You don't want to open your eyes or hear a thing. It hurts too much. So can you, as good Christians, really be dissipated to the things of Christ? Absolutely. You can get so sick on the things of this world that it hurts to lift your heads to Christ. It hurts to hear Christ. His truth hurts when it confronts you in your sin. It's easier, or at least less painful, to just lay there in the darkness of your sin. Blame your sin on others. Eyes closed in trying to keep that painful word of truth from penetrating your aching heads. Watch out. Watch yourselves. It's so funny how the old Adam always tries to emulate Jesus in a really pathetic wish.com kind of way. Because when the accusation of sin is cast at you, what does Jesus do? We know, well, Jesus' standard operating procedure. Here's the slings and the arrows and pa-tew, gets shot at you. And the cross is right there going, I got this. Stands in front of you. Fip, fip, fip. And it sticks in there and goes, that's where that sin is going. But the old Adam goes, I got this. And it is him saying, you're accusing me of being a sinner? Nope, nope. Look at that person over there. Distraction, right? Instead of the cross which says, I will take that sin and I will... The old Adam goes, no, I think I got this. Next thing you know, you're now Egyptian because you're living in denial. I'm reminded of St. Peter's second epistle, where he speaks of nearsightedness to the free and unmerited gift of baptismal grace and salvation in Christ. 2 Peter 1:5-9. A Christian faith that is without virtue, without valor, without the knowledge of Christ, i.e. a Christian who knows nothing of the faith they claim as their own. We call them cafeteria Christians. Without self-control, the ability or desire to resist temptation, without patience and endurance, without piety, without holiness, without brotherly love, is a faith that is blind to the love of Christ. The main thing, Jesus is the main thing. And now I have people that call themselves Christians and yet are totally blind to Jesus. It's like saying, I sell tires, I just don't like those rubber things you put on the rim. You're not a very good tire salesman then. Whoever lacks these qualities of virtue, knowledge, self-control, patience, piety, brotherly love, and godly love is so nearsighted that they are blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed and washed from his former sins. To be nearsighted means that you can only see things up close. We as Christians can be sinfully nearsighted to the point of blindness. It happens all the time, and it happens to all of you. Life gets tough, and that's all you see. You don't see Christ. You don't lift your head up and look. Life doesn't even have to get that tough for sinful nearsightedness to blind you. You get too busy focusing on yourselves, your desires, your cares, your worries, your comforts, your feelings, your worries, that you become blind to the needs of your neighbor and to the words and promises of Jesus. When you did not do these things to the least of those, you did not do them to me, says Jesus. You can be so nearsighted and curved in on yourself that you can be blind to the unconditional love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I'm not just talking about what you are called to do as good works, because you are. But I'm also saying you have been called to hear, believe, and love, and not only love, but seek out the good things of Jesus Christ, namely in word and sacrament. These are good things. And spiritual nearsightedness, the close will say, well, I can't really be around those things right now because of insert lamewish.com excuse here. Begin by looking no further than the baptismal font. How often you don't recognize your own sinner saint reality. You forget you're so nearsighted that you're blind. While you were still dead in your sin, your Lord chose you, called you, cleansed you. You didn't earn His forgiveness. You didn't earn God's grace. You didn't earn God's mercy. He gave it to you free and unmerited as a gift in spite of you, not because of you. He washed you, cleansed you. All of His great love for you in Christ and because of Christ. Shouldn't that change you? It does. Shouldn't that good news have an effect on you? Or did you forget? Is it a side effect of the coronavirus? Do you not see? And before you answer that, pause. Look to the communion rail. Here is Jesus, God's unconditional love in the flesh, holding out to you His blood-bought gifts of body and blood of forgiveness, life, and salvation. As often as you do this, remember what I have said. Each and every time you gather together for this feast, here is Christ, just like He promised. I am with you to the very end of the age. Here He is, and yet you can be so blinded and weighed down by your own cares, your own worries, your own hang-ups, your own whatever desires, your worldly desires, your own insecurities, anxieties, whatever. You fail to recognize that Christ is in your midst. This place is actually special. Our forefathers built this place because it was special. They banded together from other special places to create this place because they said, this will be a place where we can come and Jesus will be here in word and sacrament because He promises to. That blows my mind. 10 years before I was even born, this place was built. It's special, not because of the material it's made out of, but because who promises to be here? Don't get so hung up that you don't find yourself here regularly taking the good things. And none of this even addresses our nearsighted blindness as it pertains to the end times. Whether it be your own end of life or the end of time and judgment day. Man, you should have been in Bible study today because we were all over that. We may say that we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come in our creed, but the fruits you bear make it clear that you can't even imagine that Christ could pull the trigger and sound the trumpet and bring all this to an end in the twinkling of an eye. You're too busy, as my grandpa would say, navel gazing. To raise your heads and look to Christ. I'll go to church next Sunday. Next Sunday comes. Oh, wait, that excuse from last week was sweet. I'll go to church next Sunday. What if next Sunday doesn't come? What if the next time you're in church is for your own funeral? What if Judgment Day comes before you can work God into your schedules? Well, it's too late. Your end judgment will have come upon you like a trap. Watch out. Watch yourselves. Like I said last week, this is why we take a little bit of time before Christmas to focus on a season of repentance. We're all guilty of such spiritually blind inebriation and avoidance. But here's the thing. Me harping on it doesn't change it. What changes such sinful behavior isn't browbeating and shaming, but the holy gospel reality of Christ for you, for me, for the whole world. In theory, we could come to your house, tranquilize you, tie you up in chains, sit you down in the pew, but that isn't what you're called to do. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit says to you, hey, sinner, you know how you're redeemed and your new Adam who arose from the water when the old Adam was drowned comes up and says, yeah. You know how all that stuff in the Bible is true? And the new man in Christ says, absolutely. You know, there is an opportunity every Sunday to be refreshed and renewed in all those promises. And the new man in Christ is saying, excellent. And the old Adam tries to poke his head up and going, I'm really busy. And the new man in Christ pushes him down and says, quiet you. I'll steal the line made famous by John the Baptizer. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Put down your phone. Put down the sales ads. Put down the shopping lists. Turn off the news. Whatever else is more important than Christ to you, put it down. Lift up your heads because here is your Savior. Here is the one who took your place and paid for each and every one of your sins. Excuse me. Put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander, everything that is divisive among us. Jesus died for the sins of the person you can't stand. Just like he died for you, somebody who somebody else probably can't stand. Jesus loved them enough to die for them, no different than for you. Here he is. And he's not here in terror and wrath. He's here in love. He's here to give you his blood-bought victory and peace in word and sacrament. Look to his holy tree of life. It is finished. And it was done for you. Make no mistake on that detail. Can't you see the signs and proofs staring you in the face? Did Jesus not remind you enough for 2,000 years? Right now, the world that I call weird and strange, I had to remind myself the other day that in 2019, the world was weird and strange. In 2018, the world was weird and strange. I don't think COVID can have the award for creation of weird and strange. But it is a good excuse. Folks, I know the world you live in. I live in it too. It's scary. It's depressing. And it doesn't look to be getting any better right now. But lift up your heads. Lift up your eyes. Behold, the Christ, the Almighty Son of God, is in your midst and with you always, even to the very end of the age. And by virtue of your baptism into Him, into His death and resurrection, you belong to Him, and nothing and no one will take that away from you. Sad part is you'll give it up willingly. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against this blessed truth and comfort. Oh Lord, may they never lose sight of this. May they never let this get out of focus. Oh Lord, may this beautiful gospel truth be what they look at to hold fast now and into eternity. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.